Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday is underway. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. We'll hear from Tony Baselli at Lambeau Field, Green Bay, coming up. Jags Raiders coming up Sunday at Everbank Field, a 1 o'clock kick. And the only game at Everbank Field in the month of October. And there's a couple weeks away from the next home game, too. So two games in this stadium in what will be a 9-week span, which is part of the schedule.
Well, you got Florida-Georgia game, too.
Florida-Georgia, Navy Notre Dame.
I don't think that counts for the Jaguars, but got the Florida-Georgia game.
Right, but Jaguars game. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I know. Yeah. You know what's crazy, JP?
What's that?
Baselli's at Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, second, third part, you know, in 60% through the month of October.
That's right, it's the 20th.
And you would expect a little cold weather maybe at Lambeau.
A little chill in the air, sure.
Yeah. No, it's not even cold there yet. No, I can't believe it. I mean, it's a little cooler, but it's not typically like it is normally colder. I mean, Lambeau Field is just not the same unless it's cold. I'm not talking cold like ice and snow, but just cool. Put on the winter parkas thing.
We went there in 2012 when I was on the sidelines with the radio crew. We were at Green Bay. And it was a game that the Jags, I think, that was their best game they played that year. And they lost by, I think, Andre Branch had a sack or something, and they were within a score of the Packers.
Did he do the windmill?
Yeah, he probably did, if I remember right.
Let's go back to him at some point, because I want to find out what he's doing this year.
I remember wearing, the big, thick jacket and then getting out there, and it's like, wait a minute, it's like 68 degrees. What am I doing? I'm really soft right now.
Probably about the same in Lambeau Field today.
Because it was about the same time. It was like October. It was about the same time period, I think. So
I'm going to have to pull it up.
We'll hear from Tony coming up. We also have his picks tonight. We'll get to those.
Okay.
And
I want to find out how we did last week.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Because I think I did pretty good.
I don't know if you did as well as you think you did. There's one oaf who did very well, and we'll get to that as well.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
The Jags offense, you know, the buzzword around here this week, Logs, has been tempo. Tempo.
How
do you go faster? No huddle. How do you get the jump-started offense moving? And what's your answer for that?
Well, look, you run the risk if you try to go up tempo of putting your defense out on the field for even more snaps. You know, and
There's
Gus
no
just
doubt.
Got talking about done talking about how in the Chicago game they went up tempo from basically the middle part of the third quarter through the rest of the game, and of course not at the end of the game when you're sitting on a lead. But you ended up putting your defense out on the field for 80 snaps, right? I mean, we got the stat
about
sheet right here.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's see how many plays they got. Total number of plays, if I can find it. Offensive plays, here we go. 77.
That's close, yeah.
77 snaps for the Bears, but that does not count penalties. Okay, so if you count penalty plays, I mean, depending on whether they had to redo the down or not, I mean, it could have been more. I mean, that's a lot of snaps.
Because they had long, sustained drives, too. That was the other part of it. It wasn't
the Bears
like,
did, yeah.
It
I mean,
like
the Jaguars,
the Bears were going 3-and-out on the other side.
The Jaguars had, one possession in the first quarter.
That was it.
Because the Bears had, you know, a 6-play drive, and then they had an 11-play drive, and the next thing you know, it's the second quarter. And you're like, where did the first quarter go?
Right.
You know, and it was funny because, the NFL and the networks, they have to get a certain number of breaks in a half. I mean, they're committed to paying the bills. I mean, they've got advertising to play because that's how they're making money, generating revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And the first quarter went so fast, and now they're behind. And so every time there's a kick, every time there is a change of possession, it's break, 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 trying to get them all in. And then they start the second half. And so they're thinking, okay, we got behind in the first half, so right out of the gate in the first part of the second half, break,
just
break,
get
break,
them
break,
in.
Break. Let's get them in
ahead.
So we don't get behind.
It's funny how that works. So we'll see. I mean, you know, you talk to the guys in the locker room, and they like the idea, I think, of playing a little faster on offense. You know, get a first down.
You know what I like the idea of, JP? I like the idea of this offense learning how to run the football like they did in the preseason. And I know they can. I'm not saying that they're going to come out and all of a sudden they're going to be the number one ranked team, you know, weeks 6 through 10 or 6 through 16, yeah, whatever you want to call it. You know, but this team can run the football better than what they're doing. Mm. And watching the Raiders tape this week, it kind of made me have a little bit of a moment to where I said, well, you know, how come they can run the ball when their offensive line, in my opinion, I don't think they're as good as what the Jaguars have. I don't think they're as good. Mm. I think they've got a couple of players that are pretty good. And I think Osemele at left guard, the free agent acquisition from the Ravens, is a good player. Donald Penn is a very good player that probably doesn't get enough credit for the type of player that he is. On the right side of the offensive line, they're average at best. The center, solid player, average.
Let's go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, Lambeau Field. The frozen tundra, not so frozen. Tony Boselli has the call tonight where Westwood won, as the Packers host the Bears, a great matchup in the NFC North. What do you say about it, Tony? Offensive line for the Jags, that's where this run game starts, right?
Well, absolutely. And let me answer the question, Jeff, that you posed. Why aren't they running the ball? Or why is a unit that we feel is, you know, equal or better than the Raiders not having the same success? It's very easy. I was so frustrated after you and I watched the game every plane ride home and go through the all 22. I actually went back and watched it twice and went back specifically and charted every run play that the Jaguars had, because I'm like you. I, like you, believe that it's not hurry up. It's not this or that. It's about executing better, and it really starts with being able to run the ball, not top five in the league, but consistently, to take some pressure off the quarterback, open up some things, and make some easier throws out there. And so I went back and – it's, first of all, the good news, very fixable, but it is a combination of mental errors, just flat busts on plays, guys not doing their assignment,
can I add something to that?
It is guys not, the assignment might be right, but not executing the technique the way I know they're being taught, or the way they should be being taught. I guess I shouldn't say no. As far as targeting, aiming points, working together, leverage. We play too high at certain times. And so it's not some mystery. It's execution. And that's what, you know, I get in JP's on the show Monday night. I get a lot of heat sometimes because I talk about everyone wants to, you know, it's Greg Olsen, do this, it's this call, it's that. It's, you know, and coaching's a part of it.
Well, let me add this, Tony, because, you know,
do a better job and try to find schemes and try to give your players the best advantage.
We just had.
I'll say it like I did Monday night. It's about execution. It's about players doing their job and doing it correctly.
Can you hear me?
I don't know if
Tony
you can.
Tony
Boselli with us.
I got you now.
Yeah,
I lost you for a little bit.
Tony Boselli with us in Lambeau Field, Green Bay. You were going to add something to that.
Well, I was going to add, Tony, that, you know, when you watch the Raiders tape, you know, the Raiders run the football pretty good.
Yeah.
And they've got it's not like they've got Adrian Peterson or Jamal Charles back there. I mean, they're running two rookies from the film I've watched. Those rookie players, when they, first of all, they believe in the hole and they hit it. And I think that part of the reason that the Jaguars are not being as effective as they can be, how many times have we seen T.J. Yeldon or Chris Ivory do that little stutter step in the backfield? Because they're not sure that where they want to go. I mean, TJ's kind of that runner anyway, but Chris Ivory is doing it a little bit. I think if the running backs get more decisive, which also the offensive line has to make it more decisive for them at times, but if they get more decisive, I think it would be much more effective. I think a lot of it falls on the backs.
I think it's mainly on the offensive line. Some of it's on the back. Going back and charting those plays, I saw one play that for sure – it was a bad run and a bad cut. They had a double team. I'm sorry, I lost you for a second. They had a double team where they double team scheme the downhill, and it was blocked very well. And there's a scheme that is to go downhill and to just be vertical. And instead of trusting it, he tries to bounce it to the backside right to where the safety's in the box. And it's a bad play at that point.
Yeah, interesting.
I think it falls on both. You know, Tony, the one thing that I don't want to see them do, you know, the zone play that they ran in the preseason was pretty good. And I know that you were a big fan of trying to get more vertical, get more, you know, man scheme, blocking schemes. But, you know, the zone scheme can be tremendously successful. And I don't want to see them give up on that.
And I agree with you, Jeff. I don't think they should they've done it a little bit, and you don't want to get away from it too much, but it's been so ineffective that I can see why they have. And they had the success in Indianapolis going downhill and being more vertical, and they tried to do more of that against Chicago, and they weren't getting any movement, and they never got anything going at all.
Some point they have to, though, and maybe this week will be the week. The Raiders' defense doesn't rate so good.
Well, no, they're not. But, you know, Tony, as much as, you know, we're kind of criticizing, you know, and critiquing the offensive line and the running game, you know, I brought this point up on Monday night. I'm sure that you talked about it because we talked about it during the game. The job that the offensive line did in protection down the stretch once they went to that hurry-up, the pocket that Blake Bortles had, and everybody wants to say, well, Blake really, really upped his game when he got to that, you know, up-tempo offense. Mm-hmm. I thought the offensive line saved his rear end a bunch in the second part of that game.
Jeff, I actually thought the offensive line was outstanding the entire time, pass blocking. And I'll say this, for most of the year,
yeah,
I think they've done a great job pass blocking.
You're right.
That's right.
The protection's been good. And so, listen, I'm the biggest offensive line defender in the city. I love those guys. And part of my critique and maybe a little bit harshness is because I think they're good players. And I think they're good run and pass blockers. And right now they're just not getting the production. And the backs can be better. But as a former offensive line, I'm a firm believer it always starts up front in the run game. That's where it starts. And you got to take the onus as an offensive lineman on yourself and say, we have to be better.
Now, when Blake has that pocket and that time to make a decision, he's got to make the right decision. And it's got to come out pretty clean. And a lot of times this season it hasn't been that yet.
No, it hasn't been that. And, boy, there was a couple glaring examples there to start the second half. You know, where he had, I think it was, what was it, Tony Julius Thomas, he had open on a route and missed it badly.
Yeah, it was a combination, Jeff. They ran it on first down. They got like 2 yards, I think. They run a slant concept where they fake the run underneath to hold the backers, a slant in the right, quick play to Allen Robinson. It's thrown behind him.
Bad throw.
Could have been caught, but not a very good throw at all.
No.
So now you're third and seven, third and eight. Julius Thomas on a skinny post, about an 8 yard post, wide open, sails the ball 5 yards over his head.
You know, and that's
so that was a bad combination for him.
You know, and here's the thing, Tony. His you know, we talked during the game about Blake's third down rating, which I mean that's where you want your quarterback to be good. Third down, move the chains, keep drives alive. You know, because I remember listening to a conversation. I think it was John Elway. John Elway, Dan Marino, and they were asking him, what's your job as a quarterback? And they said, hey, look, my job as a quarterback is to move the chains, to convert third downs, keep drives alive, to find a way to eventually score. Big plays will happen, but you can't have big plays happen if your play count is down because you're not converting third down. And Blake's third down rating dropped after this past game. I mean, I think going into that game, he was like a 39 rating, which is not very good.
No.
And his third down rating dropped is now a 32.9 on third down. That's not very good. You know, he's got to be better. He's got to be more accurate. He's got to be more decisive. You like to have a little bit better success on first down. But, you know, the reality is that, you know what, the Jaguars as a team actually has a pretty decent ranking in yards gained on first down average.
Really?
Yes.
It's amazing because they have a lot of third and long situations,
it seems
like. Right. How does that work?
Their average yards gained on first down is pretty good.
Well, second down must really suck then. Right? I mean, come on.
Something's going on, JP. But you know what? To be honest with you, in that Chicago game, did you ever see a lot of impossible third downs, third and forevers? No, they didn't have a lot of them.
That's true.
They were manageable.
Now, in fairness to Blake as well, there were some key drops on third down as well. Allen Hearns had one on a crossing route that comes to mind right away.
And well, the one he got drilled? And barely lived?
Well, not the one he got drilled. That was a – I wouldn't put that as a drop.
No.
There was a shallow crosser, and it was the one, Jeff, in the game you said that was a fastball. It was not much touch on the ball, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, and it was. It was a fastball.
Yeah, but tight windows, you got to do that, man.
That's yeah, but it wasn't a tight window. You know, you watch the film. You watch Derek Carr do that same pass, and it was just he just touches it, and it's right there.
But he should catch the ball. Is my point.
I'm with you, but there also has to be a point where the quarterback has to give it to you with a little bit of touch.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, I mean, JP, you've been around baseball. I mean, can you imagine trying to catch a pitcher from halfway from the plate all the way towards the mound?
No, it's probably not ideal.
No.
No.
Same thing for a wide receiver. When you're 5 yards away, I don't want 100 miles an hour.
Just soft it in there.
Yeah, just throw it in
just
there.
Just get it in there.
You know, don't put the, you know, the Dave's Insanity sauce on the ball. And
We'll come back in a moment and flip it over to the defensive side for the Jaguars. More Miles Jack in the equation?
Oh, Lord. We got to have that conversation again?
I think we might.
Oh, God.
Don't miss Tour and Treat, presented by the Florida Prepaid College Board, Wednesday, October 26th at Everbank Field. It's a trick-or-treat locker room tour ending in an exciting family fun zone with games, inflatables, face painters, and more. Season ticket members get in free or register online. $20 admission for Jaguars.com/Halloween. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, we were blessed, you know, obviously with a good corner, a couple of good corners in Seattle, and we're blessed now where I think we got three good corners. But, we've always known that Jalen's going to be special, and when they have a marquee wide receiver, you know, we're going to challenge him each and every week. So his preparation during the week was great. Obviously, we know that Jeffrey's caught a couple balls on him, but I think they get paid too. So it's a situation, you know, we feel real comfortable with him right now matching up on people.
There's your defensive coordinator, Todd Wash, earlier this week discussing Jalen Ramsey. Gave up 90 yards in the first half to Jeffrey last week, 3 yards in the second half. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli is at Lambeau Field in Green Bay for tonight's Thursday night football game. You think Ramsey's going to shadow Cooper?
I don't know. It's a great question. I didn't think that last week that they would shadow Ramsey on Alshon Jeffrey, just because, you know, you're pretty confident with the way Prince Mukamura is playing. He's got size. He's got length as well. But I don't know. I would like to see it because, you know, Jalen Ramsey wants it. He's talked about it yesterday, that said that he was looking forward to the matchup back in college when they were possibly going to face off against the Roll Tide Alabama Crimson Tide, and he would have seen him, Amari Cooper, in the national title game. But, of course, Alabama lost, Florida State lost, and neither one of them got to the point where they were going to face each other. But he wants it. So if he wants it, I'd like to see it.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. And only I haven't dug into the numbers, but like you have, because I was getting ready for this game. Isn't Crabtree – I mean, the only reason I think they wouldn't, because Crabtree is a pretty productive guy for them as well, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, but the one thing that Crabtree does not do is or does not have is speed.
No, he doesn't.
And so I don't think you're worried about – I mean, if it were me, I mean, right now the fastest defensive back that the Jaguars have is Jalen Ramsey. The fastest wide receiver that the Raiders have is Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is their big play threat. You know, Michael Crabtree is a career – 12 yards per catch receiver. That's what he is. 12.1 to be exact. So I don't think anybody fears Michael Crabtree. He can move the sticks on you. But big playability, Amari Cooper's the guy.
And I agree with that. I guess my point was maybe this is a week you just don't match up your corners. Only because you're comfortable. Because I wouldn't put Amari Cooper at this point of his career as an elite receiver. I think he has the capability. Maybe one day he will be. They're both very good players, different players, as you just explained perfectly. And so I could see them possibly just playing right and left with Mukamura and Ramsey and whoever they match up with, they match up with.
Yeah, and I think they're going to match up. I do.
And, they might.
And here's the thing, Tony. If we had seen the Jaguars in the past play Jalen Ramsey against the number two receiver and then lean the safety over the top to help against
right.
the number one, you might think, okay, well, maybe they put Jalen Ramsey on Crabtree and they're going to double Amari Cooper. And that might be the smart decision to do if you did that, because Amari Cooper can run deep, and the double coverage, I think, would be more effective on Amari Cooper than putting your best corner on Amari Cooper. But we haven't seen the Jaguars do that. That's not what they do as a defense. So what they do as a defense is play that safety right down the middle, sometimes play cover two, and they've shown that they're going to put their best corner on a wide receiver, whether it was Devon House last year, and this year it's been Jalen Ramsey. So I think they will match up.
Jeff, was it just me? Did they change in the second half their coverage and played a little bit more zone against the Bears, where they were more press man in the first half?
A little, but I don't think the percentage was...
Not drastic?
No.
Okay.
No. I think the defense just played better. Jalen Ramsey played better.
Oh, he did. And I'm not taking anything away from him. Just watching it felt like watching it. It was a little bit more zone. I thought the adjustments that Jalen made and Todd Wash made at halftime defensively were outstanding.
Well, adjustment that Jalen made?
He trailed more. He didn't get over the top so much.
Well, exactly. Because I think he gave Alshon Jeffrey, and we talked about this during the game, and he gave him too much respect or too much credit for speed that Alshon Jeffrey doesn't have. And
that's
so
fair.
Alshon was doing a lot of comeback
routes.
So he'd
break it off and just go.
He was breaking it off. And then Jalen would run past, and he'd have to try to recover. Well, it was too late. And Jalen runs probably – if Jalen is a 4-4 guy, Alshon Jeffrey might be a 4-6 guy. And it's probably the exact same on game speed. So, I think he finally learned, okay, look, let me play underneath a little more. If it's going to be deep, I can catch up and make a play on the ball.
And especially – because Alshon's a big guy, physical guy, and so he was using his upper body and pushing off and creating space on top of it. And I think Jalen understood that and said, listen, I can play underneath a little bit, and it'll help me deal with the physical nature of Alshon Jeffries because he's going to push off, and he's very good at it, and he's going to get away with it.
You know, the best adjustment that Jalen Ramsey made going at halftime, he knew that he got beat up. First half. He gave up, six balls for 90 yards in the first half.
Absolutely.
That might be the greatest education and the most humbling experience you get as an elite player if you think you're great and all of a sudden you gave up 6 for 90 in the first half. You might want to make a few adjustments in the second. And I give him credit.
That's right.
I give him credit.
The other part of this defense is a little bit of a topic this week. Miles Jack. How do you get him on the field more? And we're talking about rookies here, first of all.
All right.
Pretty good rookies.
All right. Tony, are you tired of talking about why can't we see more of Miles Jack yet?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
And the reason I say that is that, I understand a lot of fans want to see him. He's a high pick. He was expected to possibly be a top five pick. Jaguars were fortunate to be able to get him at the top of the second round. But who are you going to take out? I mean, are you going to take Telvin Smith out?
No. Not
Pro Bowl level.
Out.
Yeah.
You going to take Paul Posluszny
out,
captain of the defense?
No.
I think where the complaints were this week, Jeff, is that Skuda got 12 reps in base personnel that took away from 12 reps that Miles Jack would have got.
Well, here's the thing. If Miles Jack wants to keep those 12 reps, you know what he has to do? He has to prove that he's better than Dan Skuda in those type of defenses so that he can keep those 12 snaps. Okay, and when he proves that, it's called earning something, right?
Wait a minute, you got to work for it?
Yeah, you got to earn it. Okay, just because you're drafted or you are going to be a potential top five pick doesn't make you entitled that you're going to automatically play every down in front of Dan Skuda. When he earns the right to take those snaps away from Dan Skuda, he will get those snaps. Simple.
And Jeff, don't you think it's when you talk about earning it, and I agree with you, I think it's earning the trust that he's going to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
I think that's it. It's not a physical. I mean, the guy is dynamic.
Tony,
out there. We've,
Tony, you remember
so
in the ball game? How many times did you say in this past game, and also if you go back to the London game against the Colts, to where we had to see Paul Posluszny help him get lined up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm look, he's a young player. It takes time, right? Some players need more time than others, okay? And I remember, Tony, you pointed it out during the game in Chicago, and that he was trying to get Miles Jack lined up, or they were trying to get Miles Jack lined up. You know, when he earns the right and he earns the trust from the coaches that he can line up and play ball and be better than Dan Scuda, Miles Jack will be on the field more.
I mean, he's only played that position for 3 weeks.
Exactly.
You know, I mean.
And I'm not criticizing him, you know.
Right.
I'm just making the point.
It'll come.
Well, you hope it will come.
Maybe.
I mean, but you just don't assume that it will.
It'll come. He's going to be the starting Mike linebacker here whenever Puz.
Yeah, but you know what?
Puz's high level drops off. But it's not right now.
Well, here's the other thing, Tony, is that, you know what? If Paul Posluszny keeps playing at the level that he's playing at now, what's wrong with Miles Jack learning all the positions, continuing going forward, and then Miles Jack being your starting auto?
I love the fact that we're having conversations and people are complaining about that we have too many good linebackers right now.
Well, yeah, I'd like to see a few more good linebackers. Yeah.
But you know what I mean, Jeff? It's like, are we really – I mean, I'm with you. It's like, why are we talking about this? I understand he's a high pick and he's going to be a fabulous player and he's talented as all get out. But you have two guys that arguably are playing the best on the defense right now, Posluszny and Telvin Smith. Why is it even a conversation? It shouldn't be.
Here's the thing that I'm trying to figure out. You know, Tony, and you felt this in your playing days. I felt this in my playing days. There are certain players, and I'll give you an example. The first year that Tony Brackens was drafted, that the first APADS, right? And, you know, the defensive line coach, John Pease, said, look, you know, we want to work with him. You know, hey, look, Jeff, Clyde, we want you to work with him, teach him the ropes, teach him how to do things the right way. So the very first day of PADS, I'm matched up with Tony. And I'm working with him, and it's a drill to where, you know, I act as the offensive lineman a couple snaps, and I come off on him, and he, you know, hits me, and then it switches. He becomes the offensive lineman, and then I'm the defensive lineman. I react. I'll never forget the first play in which Tony Brackens hit me when I was the offensive lineman. And it's a practice.
It wasn't pleasant, was it?
No, oh my God. I mean, he about knocked the wind out. I mean, I remember after we got done with that, we're walking to the next drill, running. Coughlin would get mad if I said walking, but we were walking. And I said to Clyde, tomorrow I want you to take Tony. he goes, why? And I said, because I just want you to feel him. I said, because he about knocked me on my butt, okay?
And Jim, I think that's a great example because when Tony Brackens was a rookie, he was the most talented defensive end we had on the team, talent-wise. But he wasn't the best defensive end because of the all-around game and learning the position and being trusted in every down situations. And I think it's a little bit the same. I mean, Miles Jack is going to be a really good player. He's talented and everything else. But there's more to playing in the NFL and playing any position than just having the athletic side of it down. It's about, you know, your smarts and understanding and lining up and everything else. And he's doing fine, and he's coming along great. And I believe he'll get more and more reps. And ultimately, I think he'll take all the reps at Otto.
And I bring that up for two reasons. One is that Tony Brackens didn't play immediately. He worked his way in. And then eventually, he was clearly better than me and Clyde on the outside. So it was time for us to kick inside.
Yeah.
You know, if we were going to be better than the inside guys. That's the progression that it takes. And the other reason I brought up is, and Tony Brackens could hit people with a force that just some people, the same size, speed, makeup, couldn't do it.
You can't coach it.
You can't coach it. Some people either have it or not. And I brought that up, too, because Tony Brackett, that story is great for Miles Jack, but it also relates to Telvin Smith. Telvin Smith weighs 215, 218 pounds, and we're talking about linebackers playing very well. How Telvin Smith, at 215, 218 pounds, can deliver the blows that he does. Remember the one where he came across field? Paul Posluszny actually had a bad read on one play in the entire game. And his drop.
When he dropped in coverage on the run, yeah.
Yeah, he's dropping in coverage on the run. I think it's probably the only bad read I've ever seen Paul Posluszny have. And so Telvin covers for him. He comes all the way across the formation, Tony, and he hits the running back.
Yep, I remember.
Kadeem Carey, and wallops him, just like he did in San Diego with the running back that ended up leaving the game with an ACL?
Danny Woodhead.
Yeah. When we said, oh, my God, he just knocked out Danny Woodhead.
Yeah.
How does somebody 215, 16 pounds deliver a hit with a force like that? And then, but immediately when I watch something like that, I go, well, Tony Brackens could do that.
Right.
So, but I mean, some people just have that gift.
Natural. We'll come back in a moment and talk Bears-Packers. Tony Boselli at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Jaguars Thursday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
It boils down to us just wanting it more than the other team. You know, I think that's where you find out.
What was that, JP?
I don't know what happened there. There was Kelvin Beecham for a moment and went away. Still playing.
What kind of a junky laptop do you have?
I don't know.
Boselli, can you believe that? You know, we're trying to get some sound.
I thought I lost you guys for a second. Yeah.
And JP is bringing poor equipment into the studio.
Hey, I don't know.
Can we try it again, JP?
It's a brand new computer. It's brand new.
Let's try
it
one
more time.
Let's try it one more time.
Let's try it one more time.
Okay, here we go.
It boils down to us just wanting it more than the other team. You know, I think that's where you find out.
Yeah, no, it went away.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yep.
That's
right.
Terrible.
Yep.
Embarrassing.
It's poor performance on my part.
I think that's operator error.
That's what we call a lack of execution.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Well said.
Yeah, so it's on me. We'll move
So what did he say after that? So now I'm like cliffhanging.
I don't remember. I'll be honest with you. We'll have to find out next week.
It had to be good if you wanted to play it.
It was going to be great. Yeah, Kelvin Beecham. So, all right, moving along. The Bears.
Well, let's talk about that audio clip a little bit more.
Yeah, go for it then, smart Alec. Lambeau Field, Green Bay tonight, Thursday Night Football. Tony Boselli is the analyst for Westwood One's coverage this evening. And the Bears are not that good. The Packers, you would think the Packers were 0-5 the way people are talking about Aaron Rodgers right now. Tony?
Well, JP, he's not playing very well. I mean, and I think what happens sometimes is we view players kind of based on their history and the legacy, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But if you just call it what it is, since they started 6-0 last year, where Aaron Rodgers and this offense and the entire Packer team was on fire, they go into Denver and they get absolutely blown out. Aaron Rodgers throws for only 77 yards in that game. Since that, in a 15-game span, regular season game span, out of 30 qualified quarterbacks, meaning the reps and a number of attempts and everything, he's 24th in yards. He's 25th in quarterback rating at 84. Hmm. His career numbers are 103.5, best in the NFL history. And he is dead last in completion percentage at 58.1. He is just not playing good football right now at all.
Yeah, but they're still 3-2.
They are 3-2, but they are a team right now that is very injured. They're without their both starting corners. They are down their top two running backs. They had to bring up a rookie from Nevada off the practice squad, Don Jackson. They traded for Niles Davis from Kansas City. They got a lot of issues, this Packers team, and there's a lot of question marks, and they all start, ironically enough, with Aaron Rodgers. And it's a team that is coming in 3-2, and while we just saw the Bears last week, we know they're not very good. But there's a lot of people holding their breath up here right now because they're not sure what they're going to get out of this Packer team.
Well, the one thing, though, that they're still productive at, though, is third downs. I mean, Green Bay is still a pretty good football team in third down percentage, which, you know, is keeping – that's why they're 3-2.
They're number one in the NFL somehow.
Yeah.
Even with all the things I just said, they're
50%
number one
on third down.
Wow.
Yeah, 49.28%.
Yeah, which, Tony, I would love to know, and I don't have the rankings in front of me, but what is Aaron Rodgers' third down quarterback rating?
Because I don't have Aaron Rodgers' numbers coming to third down exactly, but as a team, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I would expect that to be relatively high.
Who do you think is going to play running back tonight for the Packers?
Oh, Tony's shuffling around the booth.
Sorry, I had to change. I'm back now.
Okay.
I had a little headset there.
Who do you think is going to play running back for the Green Bay Packers tonight?
It's going to be – they said they're going with the rookie off practice squad, Don Jackson.
Wow.
You know, Niles Davis, they traded for, like I said, from Kansas City. We'll get some reps.
When did he get traded? Monday?
Yeah. Conditional seventh-round pick. But he has a history of fumbling the ball. And so they're worried about that up here. But Don Jackson, they said, is going to get the majority of the reps. They played Ty Montgomery, their wide receiver, as their halfback last week quite a bit because Eddie Lacy during the game against Dallas had the ankle injury. And so you saw Ty Montgomery because James Starks is out as well, their backup running back, so they were playing with a wide receiver.
I just remember opening week when, you know, we're gathering information about the Green Bay Packers for the opener, and I'm, you know, putting the game board together, and I'm putting two running backs on the depth chart, Starks and Lacy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, okay, some teams are known for not being very accurate on their website about their depth chart and their roster. So I went to NFL.com because they tell it like it is to find out if they, in fact, only had two running backs on their roster. And they did. That to me, that is crazy to go into a season with only two running backs on your active roster. Yep. You know, and I understand that, look, they've got a wide receiver that can play a little running back because they do that with Randall Cobb. Mm-hmm. But not like a real running back, you know, I mean, right, for a change up every now and again.
All right, Tony.
Jeff, they ran inside zone with Ty Montgomery, the wide receiver.
Oh my
last week.
How'd he do? How'd he do?
Not good. It didn't go anywhere.
All right, Tony, I know you have the national call, but who you got in this game? We'll get the rest of your picks in the next segment, by the way, Tony.
I want to make sure I'm accurate because I gave those picks to you earlier today. I believe I picked Green Bay.
You?
And that's why I do think Green Bay. I think it's going to be a close game. The Bears are the worst scoring offense in the NFL. We saw that firsthand. The Packers aren't much better. I think they're like 23rd. So I think whoever can play better defense and keep the other guy out of the end zone, and I think the Packers will do that because the Bears are not good in the red zone at all. Under 50% scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Hey, is McPhee playing tonight?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
McPhee, who's been injured, he was a big free agent acquisition. The Bears were able to acquire him as a free agent from the Ravens. I know he was hurt. They supposedly brought him back this week to practice. So.
Yeah, I don't think they've activated him. They have not even activated him.
They get
him
a couple
yet,
weeks to do that. I didn't know if they were going to activate him right away.
Nope, not yet.
All right, Tony, have a fantastic call tonight, and we'll talk
Before
to
we
you.
Go, can you just tell me where everyone finished with the rankings last
week? Yes.
I know you're going to get into it. Where we all finished last week?
Last week, I brought up the rear, 7-7. Jeff was 8-6. Tony Buscelli, 11-3.
Wow.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
there it
don't
is.
Sleep on me now. There Coming it, back.
Oh. Tony, so now for the season, JP is 33-25,
yeah,
and
first.
I am 30-28. Yep. And Buscelli, you are 18-10. So what we're going to have to do is go a percentage to determine the victor.
Does he have enough to qualify? I don't know if he's.
Why don't you just do this? Whatever you guys pick the first couple weeks, give me the average mean between you guys and give me those wins losses.
I was told there would be no math.
We can all we have
well,
to
Jeff,
do is do
Jeff
percentage.
Went to Virginia. He was an econ major. He can figure it out for
That's
us.
That's great.
We can either do median average or we can just do the percentage of accuracy.
Whatever.
Not that hard, Jeff.
We'll figure that out. Tony, have a great
I know you
call.
You went to Alabama
guys,
and you're having a hard time understanding.
See on Sunday.
See you guys.
Tony Buscelli. Yeah, I only took like two math classes in 4 years. Okay?
Did they offer math at Alabama?
They did. I had to take my shoes off for
basic
the class.
Basic math 101
yeah.
And then basic math 201.
Well, pretty much.
JP, you were in that class with all those football players? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
It's okay. We didn't even win then either. That was the problem. JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank. We'll wrap it up. We'll have some picks for Week 7 coming up as well. It's Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars app, jaguars.com, and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. We just heard from Tony Boselli at Lambeau Field, Green Bay. He did say just now McPhee is active. They just brought it into the studio or in the broadcast booth, so to correct that from a moment ago. And we were continuing the thought of third down efficiency and rating for Aaron Rodgers. They're the best third down team in football, which is crazy.
Right, I mean, they've almost converted 50% on third down, which is an area that the Jaguars have to get better at, too, because right now the Jaguars offensively are at 27%.
That ain't good.
But Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating, his highest quarterback rating in the NFL and their stat sheet breaks it up into three different categories. You've got overall rating, third quarter rating, and fourth quarter rating. And I don't understand why they do a fourth quarter rating.
Fourth quarter rating, comebacks, well, the whole thing.
The
right?
intent is, exactly, yeah. The intent is for, you know, how good is a quarterback in crunch time.
There you go.
But if a quarterback is terrible and then he gets his football team down by, you know, they're down by 25, 30 points in the fourth quarter, defenses don't play a quarterback the same way. They start to play softer.
Or if you're down by three scores, you're throwing the ball the whole quarter, make a bunch of trash completions, and all of a sudden you're going to have a higher rating.
Right.
So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt.
But anyway, the third down rating, I think, is the most important evaluation of quarterbacks. And Aaron Rodgers is 14th, even though he's 20th in overall rating, but 14th in third down rating. The number one quarterback in the league on third down ratings is – Drew Brees. A 122.9 rating. Now, I'm going to read you the top quarterbacks and third down rating.
Who's the top five? I bet Tom Brady. Does he qualify yet? Probably not.
No, he doesn't qualify yet. Okay. Brees, Roethlisberger, Simeon.
Kind of a surprise. Wow, how about that?
Right? Yeah. Bradford.
Sam Bradford.
And Matt Ryan. That rounds out the top five. Now let's compare that to the overall rating. Here's your top five. Matt Ryan at one. Sam Bradford at two. Mm-hmm. Matt Stafford at three. Philip Rivers at four. And Dak Prescott.
Dak, yeah.
At five.
How about that? Yeah.
Interesting, right? I mean, because, you know, you
big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, that said, it's time to make our picks for Week 7.
I'm ready.
As we go around the National Football League in Week 7.
Let me pull up my NFL
app. Oh, you need a cheat sheet.
No, I don't need a cheat sheet. I just want to look at my app.
We saw earlier the results from last week. Tony 11-3, Logs 8-6. I was 7-7. I still have the overall lead. So, Thursday Night Football, Bears at the Packers. Tony has Green Bay. Who you got, Logs?
I got Packers.
That's a clean sweep for everybody. In Twickenham in London, Giants-Rams. Both teams at 3-3. I'm going with the Rams again.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams with you. Who did Boselli take?
He took the Giants.
Okay.
Browns at the Bengals. Battle of Ohio. Tony has the Bengals. And so do I.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals.
The Redskins, 4-2 at the Lions at 3-3.
Go ahead. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Stafford. Top five passer rating at home.
I'm going to take the Redskins.
So did Tony. I'm the only man.
Well, Tony takes
Detroit.
It because his friend's a defensive coordinator.
That's exactly
for the Redskins.
Why I think so. Saints at the Chiefs. Arrowhead.
I'm going to take the Saints. And the reason I'm taking the Saints is because Drew Brees was so good to me in fantasy this past weekend.
I'm sure he was. I'm going Chiefs at home. This ain't the dome. Bills at the Dolphins. Bills 4-2. They're hot right now.
Yeah, they're not that hot. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Dolphins blew out the Steelers last week, and I'm going to go with the Bills on the road. Rex keeps it going. How about that?
Dolphins beat the Steelers up 2 weeks ago.
Is it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Ravens at the Jets.
I'm going to take the Jets.
Really?
Geno, yeah.
Geno Smith?
Yeah, I'm probably crazy for
Geno
doing that.
Train?
But here's the reason I'm doing that. I don't think the Ravens are that good. And Joe Flacco, I don't know how healthy he is.
They've dropped three straight, you know, after starting 3-0. I'll go with the Ravens just because. Vikings at the Eagles.
Game of the week.
Good game.
A game of the week. Fantastic matchup there.
I'm taking Sam Bradford and the Vikings.
Undefeated. Yep. I mean, how do you not pick them? But, you know what? It's in Philly. Okay?
Yep.
I don't see that rookie having great success against the Vikings. Oh, I'm with you. I'm taking the Vikes.
So did Tony. Tony also had the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Redskins. So here we go. The Colts at the Titans.
Colts.
AFC South battle.
I'm taking the Colts. I hope they lose, but I'm taking the Colts.
Okay, I'm going to go Titans. Exotic smash mouth at home.
He just likes saying that.
Love it. Chargers at the Falcons. Falcons for me. Falcons at home.
Yeah, Falcons. They're good offense. Defense is actually playing better than I thought, but I'm going to take the Falcons.
Yeah, Tony had the Colts. Tony has the Falcons as well. The Buccaneers at the Niners. And Tony has the 49ers.
Does he really?
Yeah, I'm going Bucks on the road.
He's got Kaepernick?
He does.
I'm with you. I'm taking Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm. Patriots at the Steelers. How about this ball game? But no Big Ben. He's out for a few weeks.
Who are you taking? Who'd Buscelli take?
He took the Patriots. Shocking.
Who are you taking?
I'm going to take the Patriots also.
So am I.
I mean, that's an easy one. Sunday Night Football. Seahawks at the Cardinals.
Cardinals playing well now. I'm going to take the Cardinals. I'm going to take the home team.
Tony's got them also. I'm going to go Seahawks to try to gain a game on you guys here. And Monday night. Texans at the Broncos. Battle of 4-2 teams.
The Texans might not score a point.
Who? Texans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Broncos.
That's a clean sweep also. So there you have it. There's our picks. Yeah.
Well, what about Carolina and Dallas?
What do you got? Did I miss that game? I might have. Oh, they're not playing. You're hilarious.
I got him.
You got me, Coach.
I got you.
You got me. Yeah, it's real nice.
He was getting nervous. And
I was like, wait a minute. I have to type something up here. Yeah. They're off. That's nice.
They are off.
So the Jags are
both going to win.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you lose your bye, that's probably not a very good. Well, the Carolina might lose their bye, by the way. They're playing right now.
Yeah, they might.
The Jags are back home against the Oakland Raiders. Jack Del Rio coming to town. This is the battle that, I personally circled on the calendar when the schedule came out because of the young talent on both sides. The teams kind of drafted near each other the last few years. You got Carr against Bortles. You got pass rushers, Mack. You got Fowler, all these guys.
Well, what you're talking about there is basically it's a game also between Reggie McKenzie and Dave Caldwell.
There's no doubt about that.
Because both of these teams have been drafting pretty close to each other over the last couple of years. You know, the Jaguars took Blake Bortles. They had an opportunity to take Khalil Mack. In the second round, the Raiders got Derek Carr the same year that the Jaguars got Blake Bortles.
Yep.
You know, so the comparison, much like the great draft of 1983 where you have, you know, the Marino and I think it was Marino, Elway, whatever, you have the comparisons that are always going to be drawn. And the comparisons will always be drawn between Blake Bortles and Derek Carr.
Yep.
Johnny Manziel was supposed to be in that conversation. Teddy Bridgewater was in that conversation sustaining a pretty horrific knee injury, and whether he even comes back and plays, you don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo was in that draft class by the New England Patriots. And even Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was the same draft class as Dante Fowler.
Yep.
So
all that.
You know, there's comparisons here, you know, because the rebuild in Oakland with Reggie McKenzie, although he did it with a couple coaches, because Jack Del Rio is now in year two, the rebuild from a general manager standpoint started at the same time as Dave Caldwell. So kind of a way to draw comparisons, you know, but the Oakland Raiders, you know, believe it or not, they're undefeated on the road this year.
And a lot of East Coast games too.
Well, and they have back-to-back games. They're coming here to Jacksonville to play a football game. They're going to stay in Florida all week and then play the Bucs next Sunday.
Yeah.
And then travel back to Oakland, and I think they have a home game and then a bye week. But that's the challenge, you know. And look, with all the conversation in Oakland about stadium talk, relocation to Las Vegas, it's no surprise that the Raiders have been a little bit better on the road than they have been at home. But, you know, I think it's going to be a great matchup. I'm glad it's a 1 o'clock kick, which is essentially, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Pacific Coast time, and the Raiders aren't going to be one up to get out of bed yet, and we're going to be just waking up having a cup of coffee, and the game's going to be kicked off, and Jaguars are going to punch him in the face.
In the face. I like it. Jeff, well done. Our thanks to Tony Buscelli as well, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Jags Raiders coming up Sunday at Everbank Field. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.